It's a JR morning. It is a May morning and a beautiful one at that. We hope you have a chance to enjoy it. A few clouds out there, but the temperatures will be very inviting. How often has this happened to you when you've been out covering political events? That you've got a candidate and you ask them, hey, what is your solution to this? Mm-hmm. And they say, well, you know, that's a very good question, but I want to talk about...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Flip it around. Yeah.
You know, their message du jour is mm-hmm. what they're prepared to get out.
Right.
Or you ask them about X, and instead of telling them what they're going to do about it, they tell you how awful their opponent is.
Mm-hmm.
So you really can't get to the heart of the matter. Debates do that very well. On the debate stage, they can't weasel their way out of answering the questions about what their agenda is and what their solutions are. Hopefully, we will be getting more good debates, especially when it comes to the U.S. Senate race, and that's because there's a new group that has come together to try to ensure that they're done and to break through the mistrust that the campaigns have right now,
right?
Which they're very concerned from a partisan standpoint about bias. We understand that. Joining us live, Dave Duilio, who's part of this new group. He is a professor of political science and director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. David, good morning.
Good morning, Guy. Thanks for having me.
Talk to me about the Michigan Debate Task Force. What are they going to do, and why do you think that this will lead to maybe a healthier, more information-rich environment?
Sure. Well, the task force is months, if not years, in the making, and it comes from really two trends that we've seen. And one is the fact that voters in Michigan are increasingly deprived of the kinds of interactions between candidates that you described in the open there, where they like to campaign these days in a very curated environment, whether it's through television commercials or events that are full of friendly faces and friendly voices, and really don't have to go before the voters and make their case, right, in a positive way. So, and the other one is the fact that when debates have happened here in Michigan in the past, they've all been driven by candidate decisions. It's up to the candidates whether they do them or not, how many there are, when they occur, and I get it, right? The candidates will make decisions that are in their best interest. If I was a campaign manager, that's what I would do. But those interests don't necessarily align with the public interest. So what the debate task force is trying to do is guarantee voters in Michigan three opportunities over the course of the general election campaign in this U.S. Senate race to hear from the folks that are on the general election ballot so that they can make their case to the voters in an unfiltered way and not through those 30-second ads or curated environments of friendly events.
And when you talk about the, you know, it's been a decline in the frequency of Senate debates nationally. What do you think has contributed to that?
I think, Lloyd, it's the candidates saying, I don't want to do it. And oftentimes we have a political dynamic in a race where, you know, one candidate is operating from a position of strength, maybe as an incumbent, mm-hmm. where they have a big lead in the polls, and they just say, I don't have to, I don't want to, why would I give my opponent a chance to eat into my lead? And again, that's one of those decisions that makes sense from a selfish perspective, but not one from the voter's perspective.
So, Dave, when are the debates? Where are the debates?
So what we've done is assemble a statewide coalition of 10 organizations as part of this task force with many others who are supporting the concept, endorsing the concept. So we are going to host three debates in the fall. In mid-September, early October, and then late October, one each in Southeast Michigan, West Michigan, and Northern Michigan. And that really is an important point, too, is that oftentimes in campaigns, maybe the less densely populated areas of our state They're not ignored, but they get less attention. But there are real issues in places like northern Michigan. Very unique issues, right, that the task force thinks, we need to be representative of the entire state and all of the issues, all of the interests that are spread around in a very diverse manner in Michigan.
Well, and that's great once fall arrives. But what about Republicans who are going to be vetting, four or five candidates now on the Republican side? Will we see a debate between Mike Rogers, Sandy Pensler, and others?
I would hope so. For us, the more debates, the better. It's creating those opportunities for voters, whether it's in a primary or general election, to hear from those who want to represent us. And I think the task force could end up doing work in primaries, but we're trying to crawl before we walk here and get this thing off the ground in a responsible manner by focusing on one campaign in one election cycle.
Dave, I got to expect that you're going to get some disagreements between the campaigns when it comes to the logistics of the debate and the dates, the times, the moderators. How do you deal with that?
Well, that's to be expected. That happens always. And, what we're doing is following the model that's been set out by similar organizations in states like Ohio and Indiana, Utah, Washington. And we're happy to have a conversation with the candidates about those issues and work it out again in with no self-interest, with really the eye on the prize here is doing what's best for voters.
And just the coalition has a lot of different voices. Detroit Economic Club, you got the Economic Club up in Traverse City, the Grand Rapids Chamber, Grand Valley State. I could name a lot more, but the point is it's a lot of different voices and people and clubs bringing this together.
Yeah, diverse in terms of sort of area of expertise, right? We've got, as you said, there's economic and business interests, civic interests, or civic groups, and higher education. And the diversity, as we mentioned before, is there too in terms of geography, which we think is really important.
David, former President Donald Trump coming to town, specifically Saginaw County, a very important bellwether county. We're seeing a narrowing race here. I got to ask you, yesterday he talked to Time magazine and really revealed what a Trump 2.0 might look like. And one of the things he talked about, was asked about, is what about this idea of a state monitoring a woman's pregnancy to see if she carries it through, and the invasion of privacy therein? Or what about prosecuting women? If states decide to do that, would you be okay with it? And he basically sidestepped and says, well, that's the state's concern, not mine. How do you think that's going to play with the larger electorate?
I think that is a deft answer by the former president at this point. And it's probably an attempt to steer away from the issue of abortion, which Republicans do not want to talk about anymore. Democrats certainly do, and you're seeing that from the president, the vice president, and their surrogates. I think that it depends on what state and what location we're talking about in terms of how that kind of thing is going
to
play.
Well, it's going to be hard to avoid it in Florida because the 6-week ban takes effect today.
Yeah.
David,
it's an issue that's not going away. Let's put it that way.
Just so you know, I think I don't want to speak for Jamie and Lloyd, but I think I can. You've got three willing participants here if you're looking for debate moderators or people to serve on the panel.
Love it. We'd love to have you.
All right. Take care. We so appreciate the civic engagement aspect of what you guys are doing and bringing civility to this discussion.
Yes.
Yeah, agree.
Take care, David. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Have a good day, guys.
You too. When we come back, as if it could get any messier between Mel Tucker and his ex-wife, there's kind of a cloud that hangs over East Lansing as a result. We'll tell you about the latest chapter in this soap opera just ahead as Steve Courtney joins us at 7:48 here on News Talk 760. You know, spring temps are very unpredictable, and no one wants to get stuck in the heat. Sign up today, and you can take advantage of the CNC Heating and Air Conditioning Spring Savings Event. You can get an AC tune-up for just $99 from their top certified technicians, or you can get a new high-efficiency Carrier air conditioning system with monthly payments for as low as $129. CNC Heating and Air Conditioning setting new standards as the best locally owned residential heating and cooling company out there when it comes to customer service. Their motto, service today, install tomorrow. So make sure you don't get stuck in the heat as things begin to warm up around here. Sign up today for that $99 AC tune-up from CNC Heating and Air Conditioning. You can call 586-439-3319. That's 586-439-3319 or visit cncheat.com. That's cncheat.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.